There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 74. Final 2 weeks of the season are upon us, and we're going to preview the schedule to the best of our abilities, give you some predictions before half the rotations change and everything else, because it is September baseball. Again, we'll recap some news, play our game. We have a couple weeks left, and it's still a tight race down the stretch. You can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing good. Got a new background for the YouTube watchers. I was in the grocery store the other day and came across a box of, and I'll put it on the thing, box of Julios.
Oh my goodness.
A box of Julios. Look at this thing.
That's amazing.
It's like it's a cereal.
Fruit Loops. Yeah, that makes sense. Fruit Loops. Here you go.
I'm not gonna eat it, but it's freaking cool. It's That's Julio awesome. Rodriguez on a thing of cereal. It's the official cereal of Julio Rodriguez, and obviously not licensed with MLB because look at this fake S for the Mariners on his forehead.
I feel like I'm looking at a baseball card brand like Donruss that doesn't have MLB, and they have all the fake stuff on it right there. That's pretty awesome, though.
But hey, it's not bad, and Julio went 30-30 and could be taking me to the promised land in labor this year. So he gets a box of cereal, and that's my kids aren't eating it, although they'll probably find a way to
sneak down there eventually and get into that.
For now, Julio's behind me. So I'm doing good. This is the funny, we're talking before the show, it's like, yes, it's sweating out some leagues we're in, but it's also, this is absolute dog days. We are just trying to help people get through to the end. And with this like last 2 week schedule, it'll be loaded with disclaimers and caveats because we don't know what these rotations are going to look like, especially the last week. But I don't know. We're doing our best to see this all the way through, man.
Yeah, we'll get to a lot of caveats because there's been a ton of rainouts this week that have shifted out rotations already out of nowhere. Plus, you got guys that are called up, sent down. Like I did the first pitch podcast and I made a joke that the Braves have about four pitchers. They just keep shuffling through. And it's just comical at this point. So, you know, just kind of best guesses, look where we can go from there, and we'll get you covered through the next couple of weeks, and we'll do it again next week. And again, bring your questions. We'll knock it all out for you. We'll cover a little bit of the recent news and notes because most of it's like, okay, this guy's out for the season. Cool. But that's just where we're at. I guess, do we want an FPAS disclaimer? Did I want to pass that up? It is the final countdown there too.
Yeah, why not? We are what? Are we 7 weeks from the Bubba and the Bloom Open?
Yep, it's coming. It's coming.
Cannot wait. If anyone's still on the fence, just hit us up. But cannot wait. We've got our groups finalized for the golf event. We're trying to get a prime time live podcast time slot. Trying to pull some strings, so we'll see what happens there. But can't wait for that one. A lot of special stuff planned for our live show, which will that'll be available for everyone, but even better if you're in the audience.
Even better, that's for sure. Unofficially sponsored by High Noons. Some news and notes. Max Scherzer, done for the year. muscle that helps attach like the scapula to the other part of the throwing area of the shoulder of all that cool stuff. Yeah, it's not good. They're saying he could come back for the postseason. I think it's pretty crazy if the Rangers are thinking long term here, but I guess they're not, because it's an old man pitching. But it's a really, really big blow once again for the Rangers pitching staff, a guy they traded for. A lot of these guys that got traded for this year have not panned out on any team, which is pretty wild to think about. But Scherzer done for the season. Just another massive blow to the Texas Rangers. And I'll just say it, Nate Eovaldi coming back ain't helping either.
Not too much. Eovaldi did, I think, get the win tonight over Kevin Gausman, who walked six.
Yeah, that was an ugly one.
Jesus. Anyone who has Gausman in head-to-head playoffs this week, not great. Going back to Scherzer, like, yes, out for the year. What do you think? And I guess the immediate impact is Andrew Heaney probably goes back into the rotation. He was not, semi-removed, or maybe Texas was thinking six-man, but Andrew Heaney's back in. He's still 90% rostered in 12-teamers, so probably not available in most of your leagues. But if your owner saw Heaney get booted from the rotation and Heaney's available, I would go ahead and grab him. Rangers are starting to hit again, and that division, AL West, I think the Rangers, Astros, and Mariners are all within two games. So
go Mariners. Go Mariners.
Oh yeah, go Julio.
Yeah, so we'll see how that one pans out. See if he does even have the reason to pitch in the postseason. That'll be a whole other discussion.
What do you think of Scherzer? I mean, you took him at the 4-5 turn in our draft, right? Him and Yuri Perez.
Yep.
I mean, obviously don't feel great that this isn't good news for that, but like, how worried are you for next year? It sounds like this is like, it won't affect him at the beginning of next year, but you still just wonder, like, age and just another injury on the ledger for Scherzer.
Yeah, it's not ideal, obviously, but with Scherzer, when I'm picking Scherzer, the idea is give me like, he's in Kershaw mode now. Give me 130, mm-hmm. 150 maybe, because you know they'll be pretty darn good innings. He's going to get you a lot of strikeouts. I'm not looking for the 200 inning guy anymore. I'm not looking for that guy. I'm in the mindset of give me Kershaw, which, when you look at the pitching landscape now, is still an amazing fantasy pitcher, even though he doesn't get the innings that everyone says, you got to get innings. No, doesn't matter. So I purposely picked him to go with Yuri, because Yuri is a young stud who's still going to be kind of limited on innings as well. And so just kind of a combination can be two just really, really quality inning guys. And then I could look for accumulation later, potentially. We'll see if it backfires. I don't know. But yeah, for Scherzer, I'm not too worried now. I'd imagine he'll be okay come start of the season.
And even if he repeats like this season's line, he's
still very good.
He'll end up, 153 innings. So maybe you expect around 150 for him next year. The strikeouts are still there. The whiffs are still there. 174 strikeouts like that. I mean, that'll work. 13 wins. I mean, he's going to be on Texas again next year.
He might get even more wins.
Exactly. A really good lineup, better than what the Mets were rolling out in the first half of this year. So, That outlook makes sense to me.
Yeah, that was my whole thought process, kid. I wasn't looking for the guy. He's old. I'm a realist. Like, it was not good. And he keeps getting back issues and other. Like, he was going to go on the IL probably at least three times next year. Like, it's just going to happen. Just learn to accept it. And in a draft and hold format, you draft accordingly for that. You take shots late. We've talked about that even last preseason on shows. We'll probably talk about it on shows this year. You build your team in certain ways that if you know, like, you're hitting or your pitching's week, well, your last like 10 rounds start attacking stuff. Like, that's just the way things usually go. Like, or you could draft Ronald Acuna and then it goes downhill from there. Like, I still, like, that's baffling. I felt so bad for you when I saw that.
Ideal.
Nolan Gorman, he was starting to heat up again, and he pulled his hammy two nights ago, went on the IL with a grade 2 hamstring strain, which is usually close to a month thing, and there's 17 games left. So I'm pretty sure you can count him out for the rest of the season. Maybe a postseason berth if the Cardinals won't be getting there. Never mind. I just like saying that because there's Cardinals faithful.
I mean, with all their great pitching that they have, maybe.
Yeah. But did you see Wainwright's getting to play a concert at the home ballpark this weekend? Like,
I did. After the game,
the dude's been on 199 wins. It feels like the dude's been on like 199 wins for like 2 or 3 months now. He's just like sitting there trying to get to 200 so bad. But Gorman's out. How do you think this plays out? Like, Roster Resource has Tommy Edman at second. I think Richie Palacios is an interesting one to get some playing time. But is there anything worth, paying attention to down the stretch here?
Yeah, Richie, who's half of the Super Palacios brothers.
Yeah.
Seems like every day there's some Palacios hitting a homer stealing a bag. Richie Palacios actually played second base on Wednesday, the most recent
game. He came in the day Gorman got pulled.
Okay. So, he's probably second baseman. I mean, he's hot right now and probably going to play, so that worked for September. But, this isn't really a prospect. I think on Fangraphs, he's, the 37th ranked Cardinals prospect, and that's not great. The minor league numbers, what'd he do at AAA? 299, but 5 homers and 200 plate appearances, 3 steals. I don't know. This is just kind of a filler for Palacios.
Yeah, that's all it is. Stream it. Well, maybe we'll talk about him later. We'll see. But the Palacios brothers, they are the one in Pittsburgh really has my attention. I'll say that.
That's where I'll get confused. I won't know which one's the actual.
This is Richie. I think that one's it's with a J.
I
want to say Josh, but it just doesn't feel right. So yeah. Hey, Roger Bloomfield in the chat. Roger Bloomfield in the chat. He says, "How about Tristan Casas' second half numbers looking good, huh?"
Fantastic. Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. Hope you read a forecaster and picked him up. It might have helped out quite a bit. Next piece of news here. Jason Dominguez, the Martian, was playing amazing since getting called up. One of the handful of prospects that's actually panning out the gate. He's having Tommy John surgery. Sorry, he's going to have it. It's actually scheduled for next Wednesday now. That'll be the 20th of September. And they're trying to see if he could do the brace like Trevor Story had. But he's having full-blown TJ, which for a young player makes total sense to me. Why would you even half-ass it? Go do it. Timetable for returns, 9 to 10 months. When it happened, I pretty much said this is the Bryce Harper path. This is what you're getting. So you're basically you're hoping for an August, early August maybe next year. But on the flip side, because we can't really talk about that until we talk about 2024, which you can if you'd like, Esteban Florial has my full attention. He came up. He played both games of the doubleheader. He leads off some games. He hit 5th in game 2 today. A couple hits, couple runs, stolen base today. And what's even nicer about Esteban Florial, 28 homers, 25 steals in AAA, but hitting .284. He's shown tons of speed in the minors. The power continues to develop. Honestly, why was he not called up sooner? I have no idea. He got called up for one game earlier this year. That's it. So they're going to let him run. They have no reason not to. And I'm very intrigued this weekend in Feb.
I mean, anytime you have a 25-25 guy in the minors this year doing that in the majors and getting called up and will get time, that's interesting to me. I think Florial, too. I don't know if he'll play much against lefties, but I know this weekend the Yankees get 3, and we will keep this in mind once we go through each team in the last 2 weeks. But at least against right-handed pitching, I think everything you just said about Florial is spot on. And I don't think, I mean, Fab in your league, whatever, you're probably just bidding a dollar on a bunch of these guys, but Florial, someone who could probably be cheaper than Heston Kjerstad, who's going to get the headlines this week.
Well, I didn't put him on the list, but let's talk about him. Heston Kjerstad did get the call. When you're talking about these up and coming kids, another one that many thought should have been up sooner type situation, didn't come up. They called up some other prospects throughout the season that just didn't pan out, got hurt, whatever. So Kjerstad gets the call, and he wasn't even in the lineup.
He was not. On Thursday.
That's Pete Crow Armstrong gets called up, and they're playing in Coors Field. Doesn't even play in the first game. It's just amazing
were
stuff.
They, so what's your outlook? Maybe they were on the road today and didn't.
They're in Tampa. No, they're at home. They were at home.
No, they were at home.
There goes
that theory.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe they just wait until they're at home, make your debut at home. No,
they got to screw it all up. So what's your thoughts on it? You just want to wait and see what the weekend does?
Wait, see what the weekend does. Wait to see what happens to Ryan Mountcastle. I think that's probably the wild card here. If Mountcastle, who is injured, it doesn't sound like he's going to go on the IL. Oh, yeah,
sorry. So you saw that then. Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like he's probably staying in the lineup. So if that wasn't the case and Mountcastle is actually out all weekend or whatever happens there, then maybe Kjerstad is a take. But I mean, didn't start his first day called up. We've seen what the Orioles have done with a lot of their prospects this year, with Westberg and Kowser, just not consistent playing time, and I think that's going to be the case. Just it's just very crowded, and Baltimore is they are. It's actually a fantastic watch to see Tampa versus Baltimore battle it out for the AL East. They are not in a position to just let Kjerstad get a cup of coffee and get used to MLB pitching. There's too much at stake for Baltimore right now.
Most definitely. Last bit of news I want to mention here, because it could really mess with some stuff if the Jays want to. Matt Chapman was activated off the IL on Thursday, was batting sixth in the lineup for the Jays. A lot of people like Davis Schneider got his good run because Chapman went on the IL. Well, Schneider stayed in the lineup and played second base on Thursday. But odd man out was Dalton Varsho because Whit Merrifield moved to left field for the game. Gavin Biggio has been hitting well. He stayed in the lineup. The overall lineup was Springer, Bichette, Vladdy. Schneider hit cleanup still. Biggio, Chapman at six, Merrifield, Kirk, and Kiermaier. It looks like, again, one game, pure speculation. But if it's a Varsho versus Merrifield platoon, that would be hilarious to me.
I mean, that's probably what it should be. Either that or Biggio goes to the, like they cannot bench
Biggio's been swinging Schneider. Well, and it can't be a Varsho Schneider Merrifield platoon. It was a right-handed pitcher, so that's even stranger.
Yeah, yeah. So like, I don't know. I think your boy Schneider is safe. I think he'll get enough plate appearances to let his 500 BABIP kind of peter out a little bit. But I think he's fine. If it were me, I'd probably pull Biggio. I know he's been swinging a little bit better lately, but Biggio's been mostly the third baseman at least until Thursday. But yeah, we'll see.
Something to monitor this weekend, basically, is what we need to pay attention to there, because last time Chapman came back, Schneider didn't play for like 2 weeks, but he's hitting so well now he's not going anywhere.
There's no way.
No, he's not going, but something's got to give is what it's going to, because Chapman's not sitting. And so that's where it gets interesting. Varsho's been bad. He's been bad. So it could make sense to sit him and let these hot bats play out, because they're fighting for postseason berths. Like it really, it's going to be fun. Maybe it's guys that don't even matter to your team. That's the bottom line.
And Varsho not catcher eligible next year. He be ready for Dalton Varsho to be
cheap.
I want to say irrelevant because the bags are there, but yeah, he's gonna be very cheap. I'm gonna take him, but
Varsho and MJ Melendez's prices next year are gonna be very interesting, because Melendez won't be catcher either, so both of them being just outfielders, they become kind of a jag at that point, and it becomes very, very, very interesting on draft day. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about all that. Let's talk some weekend matchups before we preview the final 2 weeks of the season. Ryan, why don't you take it away with some things you're seeing for the week, or talk about our matchups, whatever you prefer.
We'll start with the positive news. My Michael King call was just fantastic.
Deadly.
I think 9 strikeouts. Yeah. Forget even who he pitched against. Michael King didn't pitch as well today, but mentioned this on the show last week. Probably available in your kind of, I don't want to say deep leagues, but maybe in 12 teamers. What is his 67% Michael King in 12 teamers. Michael King's a difference maker, I think, the rest of the way. So there's already some talk about wanting to get him in draft and hold for next year. Ride King while you can. So that was a great pick, I must say. So that took me on the pitching side. You actually had a decent
Olsen was good
showing yourself.
Also good, 9.7 points.
Yeah, 9.7 to 13. And then hitter side, we both did our Detroit Tigers and Matty Vierling, who didn't even play Friday. Again, I got a little too
cocky.
A little too cocky.
Cocky.
So you took me on the hitter side, 6-4. Last week was a push. And so on the season, 21 for Bloomfield, 19 for Bubba, with green fees at First Pitch Arizona on the line. So you need to make your move. We've got four
picks to go.
Two more after this. So
6 picks to go. Yeah. I do want to mention something about Reese Olson real quick, because I've had a lot of questions in Discord and other places that, yes, please stream him, guys. Like, it's not just a game we're playing. He went 6 innings, 1 run, and 7 Ks on Thursday.
Yep.
He's been sneaky good. What I want to mention, because I just put these notes down earlier, his last 4 starts, it's Yankees, White Sox, and I can't remember who the Tigers, but Reds, they played the Reds today. He's basically thrown It's really impressive, actually, for a guy that most people wrote off at one point in time. So if you throw the outing in today, it's basically 24 and a third innings over four starts with 33 strikeouts and a total of like four runs. It's been very, very good, the run he's on, and could it blow up in our face? Yeah, that's what streamers are. They're streamers for a reason. But these are the kind of guys we'll talk about in the two-week preview that probably out there. So keep an eye on him. But yeah, the hitters was interesting because I laughed. Like, we made the picks, and I remember last Thursday was kind of a rough day for me when we were recording. I was not in my best shape of recording mode.
Yeah.
Took a tiger because we talked about the matchups. Waking up to Joe G sending us a quote tweet of Matt Vierling hurt his shoulder and left Thursday night's game. I'm like, of course he did. Sweet. Golf's going to be great.
I responded. Felt good Friday. Yeah. Didn't work out.
Then he had a home run on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Feeling good. But what matchups are you looking at this week that stand out? Because there was a rainout today in a certain big stadium that plays large, and it might impact the overall schedule this weekend.
Yeah, man. The obvious, and this was a good matchup, hitter matchup before today's rainout, but your Giants at Coors, four games. And I mean, familiar refrain all season. It's not just at Coors, it's Colorado pitching, it's Chase Anderson. I think Anderson he was scheduled to pitch Thursday. I think they're just going to move everyone back for Friday. So Anderson, Peter Lambert, Kyle Freeland, and Chris Flexen. Like, good Lord. The Giants better do something, especially your Giants lefties. Like, getting three of those, that quality of right-handed pitcher is a gold mine. And even on the other side, like we've been talking about how Colorado this year, the lineup itself is terrible, but they do get Logan Webb on Friday, Alex Cobb on Saturday. You never really know what you're going to get with Alex Cobb, though. I think we talked about him last week with the 132 pitch, whatever, attempted no hitter. And then the kind of hidden injury in the second half. So, I don't know. You've got Keaton Wynn. You've got Sean Manaea. So I think your Rockies are streamable this weekend as well in four games. So that's the obvious hitter matchup. A couple other ones, the Brewers against the Nationals. You're getting Irvin. You're getting Trevor Williams, Patrick Corbin. Your Phillies get the vaunted St. Louis Cardinal pitching staff. Zach Thompson, who's been decent. Lately, but who knows when the wheels could fall off there. Zach Thompson on Friday, they get Miles Michaelis and Dakota Hudson on Sunday. So those were the big ones. Giants, Rockies, Brewers, and Phillies, if you're looking to stream good matchups. On the flip side, then that Nationals Brewers series, man. I'm telling you, these Brewers, if they get in the playoffs and you get a run, they're gonna be freaking tough.
You do not want to see them.
The Nats go to Milwaukee, get Wade Miley, but then Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, who's just been absurd. I think as a sub-2 ERA this season.
He's amazing.
He's been great. Debatably the ace of the staff, though. Our boy Freddie Peralta has been even better.
Yeah, it's not debatable. Let's get
it's debatable,
though. I know. I'm joking.
Freddie's legit. White Sox get Minnesota. The return of Bailey Ober, perhaps.
I was surprised when I saw that getting ready for DFS for Friday. I was like, oh, boy.
Bailey Ober was on a pitcher bloom board, I think our strike type one from 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Despite everything kind of unraveling, it's really just a lot of bad home run luck, and he's a fly ball pitcher. But Bailey Ober, I think streaming-wise, I don't know how long Ober will go. But I think that's a decent stream against the White Sox. White Sox then also get Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray. So any White Sox this weekend is tough. And then last but not least, that Orioles-Tampa series. Orioles get Eflin, Glasnow, and Zach Littell, which that's tough. Tyler Glasnow has just been incredible lately. So those are kind of your worst ones, in my opinion.
Yeah, those are good. Some of these kind of make me laugh, seeing Cincinnati at the Mets rating out so badly. I know it's not Great American Small Park, but now I got to see who the heck they're. I know it's David Peterson.
It's not much. It's Peterson and Quintana, who's been good.
And Quintana just limits. He has limits damage. That's what he does so well. So yeah,
but Cincinnati's also not. I mean, they're not. They're
quiet. You see, Ellie was hitting eighth on Wednesday or Thursday.
I saw your tweet on that one. That's been
That was my little troll version of.
I think hitting under 200 over the last month.
It's not good. It's not good, Bob. The other one that's interesting to me is the Angels versus Detroit. You get Scooble on Friday, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Then you get somebody named Gibson Long and then Wentz. I'm trying to figure out how that's – I guess might be more indicative of how bad the Angels are.
I have never heard of Gibson Long.
Neither have I. Not a
Are
chance.
You sure it's not Long Gibson? Or
it says Gibson hyphen Long is the name.
Oh, that's his full last name.
Yeah. Gibson. Yeah, like Nick Paul, Gibson Long is so legit.
Watch him go out there and yeah.
Prove probably. Me wrong. I will trust Nick Pollock. And he's right. Griffin Canning pitches on Friday. That's a big boy start.
I did look up Gibson Long, and I feel better about myself. When I say I've never heard of someone, like, I feel really bad if he's had like three starts. Never heard of him making his debut. So
okay. We are not prospect people. We've told you that a million times. Not a prospect, dude. So not a chance that I'm going to help you there, which I need to be more. But Nick Pollock says he's a Logan Webb comp. Changeup is fantastic. Sinker for called strikes. Solid slider. He made his debut last week, apparently. There you go. Nick Pollock, everybody. He made a video. Go check out at PitcherList on Twitter. If you've heard of that, if you don't follow him for some reason, you're crazy. But go check it out. He's got all the goodies for you, of course. Who are you picking this week? Let's start with the pitching side of things.
Pitcher side of things. I am going with the aforementioned David Peterson. Just over the last month has been, really since he's had his last stint in the Mets rotation, been one of the few shining stars for the Mets. And the matchup is good. It's Cincinnati, right, on the road. The Ks are there. The whiffs are there. The control still hasn't been that great. But in our game where we're just doing innings, run prevention, and Ks, David Peterson, he's treated me well before, so I'm going back to that well this week.
Yeah, this is not a good week for our criteria of less than 50% rostered. So here we go. Pedro Avila of the San Diego Padres this week. Don't feel warm and fuzzy about it by any means, but he is taking on the Oakland Athletics, who have been better of late. That is a thing. But it's on Sunday in Oco Coliseum, which is nice. Avila gave up 7 runs against the Dodgers in 2 2/3 last time out. Prior to that, 6 2/3 shutout against Philadelphia. Only 1 strikeout with 6 walks. That was tilting. Start before that, 3 innings, 1 earned, 5 Ks. He had 4 Ks. I don't feel great about it. Like, I'm just praying for like 4 or 5 Ks and don't get shelled. That's what I just give you hope. But it's not a good week for streaming pitchers. It's a lot of really good. Gibson Long isn't even in the player pool, so I can't even pick him. So it's a rough week all around.
I need to watch Nick's video just to prove Gibson Long does exist.
Yeah. Yeah, we should put it on here. Let's splice it in and put on Nick's video. Who do you got for hitters this week?
All right. This was a much easier call. We talked about the Coors matchup. I'm going Mike Yastrzemski, who's leading off against righties. So I don't think he'll play against the one lefty that the Giants face, but 3 righties and 3 bad righties at Coors. Hitting leadoff, that's just like a perfect combination. And really any San Francisco lefty this weekend, Jock Peterson, Lamont Wade. I will stop it.
Conforto might be back this weekend.
Conforto, yeah, that's true. It's a good point. Conforto will probably be back. And yeah, I will stop short of recommending Brandon Crawford at this point.
Patrick Bailey, probably available. He's another dude that should blow up this weekend. I was going to go Yaz, but then I searched. I did my diligence. I wasn't just lazy because the first thing I did was type in, okay, Yaz is less than 50%. Almost did it. I had first pick of hitters, was why. Then I looked. There's this guy that I clown on time and time again, but for this game works out perfectly. And his name is Chris Bryant. He returned from the IL 3 games ago. He's got 4 hits over 3 games, including 2 home runs, things we like to see. He's even got a walk or two along the way. Great matchups pitching-wise outside of Webb. You mentioned Wynn in one game, which is a bullpen game. Manai is a bullpen game. And you don't know what you're going to get from Alex Cobb. So like, there's some really good spots out there. And even Webb, he's been really, really good at times and really just like mediocre at times. And it's in Coors Fields. You don't know what you're going to get. So I'll take my chance with Chris Bryant. Only 40% rostered in OCs. I'll let Ryan give the real interesting nugget here in a minute. I won't steal his thunder here. But the fact I knew people gave up on Bryant, and he did come back early. No, like when he got activated a few days back, like, oh, wow, that was quick. Like, I don't think we were expecting it until next week. But Bryant's 40% rostered. What nugget do you have that really stood out?
He is 40% rostered, yeah, in 12-team OCs, 30% rostered in, wait, no, that doesn't make sense.
Main events. 50, that's what you said, 30% in the main events.
Yeah, 30% in the main. 40 yeah, no, that is yeah, messed
that's
up.
That's what you said. That's it's right. A weird
yeah,
nugget.
I'm screwing myself up. Yeah, the presentation of this nugget just went to hell. Chris Bryant is more rostered in 12 teamers on the NFBC than 15 teamers, which I don't think I've ever seen before. Yeah. And I don't know. Rare. I mean, I don't know what that is. Like, if just in 12s, like if he just wasn't dropped by teams that aren't there, or I don't know. But I thought that was interesting. The other interesting nugget that no one cares about with Chris Bryant on Tout Wars, I had the option to cut him and get Fab money back, assuming he'd be out for the season. So I elected to do that last week because I thought, Chris Bryant's not coming back. I need Fab. There we go.
How much did you
back
get?
From the dead. I got like $70 and actually used it on I used like half of it on Michael King. I was down to 17.
Yeah, that's probably the right move. Probably the right move.
So yeah. I used half that Fab on Michael King.
Well, look at it this way. So it's the right move because if you didn't do it, he would have been on your bench still this week, and he came back midweek, so you wouldn't even have him in the lineup, and he's going to go off. Then he probably gets hurt on Saturday or Sunday anyways. So like that's the reality of the situation here. And just, I'm trying to give you a pep talk to make you, you know, you did the right thing.
No one can pick him up this week. So, I mean,
And you have money to go get him back, which other people might not have.
I don't think you're allowed to get your own guy back. I think.
I'm not going to say anything. But it's only fair since you couldn't do the Shohei Ohtani drop we talked about. So you might as well get the Chris Bryant drop.
That's right. I just wanted to do it.
Yeah. So it works.
Give our SWAT some more things to do.
Yep, give him something to think about. All right, let's have a little fun here. Weekly game in the books. I'm looking to go 2-0 so we can really get a barn burner down the stretch here. Can't let Ryan pull away down the stretch. We got to have some fun here with golf on the line. Let's talk about the final 2 weeks of the season. We're going to use the RotoWire starting pitching grid. Obviously, things are subject to change. There's no hiding that. It's a revolving door. I made the rainout jokes earlier because – Clark Schmidt was supposed to pitch on Monday this week. He's supposed to have a two start this week. Game got rained out Monday. They moved him to Wednesday. Cool. He has a two step next week. Wednesday got rained out. So he just kept getting moved down the line with Clark Schmidt. And just for fun looking, technically he's still scheduled for a two step next week. That'll be interesting. But this is what we're going to deal with. There's some 5-game weeks. We're just going to go team by team. If it's relevant, we'll hit on it deep. If it's not, we kind of move along. Ryan has actually put the board in place here, which is nice of him. If you're watching on the YouTube. So, Bloom, let's just have some fun here. We'll start down the list here. Arizona Diamondbacks, you got 5 games next week, 2 against the Giants in Arizona, 3 at the Yanks, and then the final week of the season, 6 games, 3 at the White Sox, 3 versus Houston. You're looking at that White Sox matchup. Things look pretty, pretty good in that one. So three right-handed bats or pitchers, one including Jose Urania, you could have some fun with.
Yeah, I this one's kind of like medium for me because you do have the 3 off days with Arizona and a 5-game week next week. And then who knows what that last series against Houston will look like.
Yeah, pretty much all the last series are still undecided on the sheet, by the way.
Will they have the AL West wrapped up by then? If so, this schedule looks a lot better because Houston is going to be setting up their rotation for the playoffs. So that's a little bit undecided, I guess, for lack of a better term, that's on the actual screen in front of me. So it's a pretty good schedule, especially that at Yankees, you miss Garrett Cole, and then the three against the White Sox is fantastic. So I'd say your Diamondbacks, despite the 2 off days, looking pretty strong schedule-wise.
Pretty strong schedule-wise. I don't think there's a ton to pick up on the waiver wire when it comes to D-backs. Up top, maybe Jake McCarthy, who just got recalled again because he destroyed AAA for the 12th time this season.
Yep.
Back-to-back weeks, he was the PCL player of the week before they promoted him, like just crushing it. So he'd be the only guy I'd probably think is available out there for you. But check your wires. Atlanta Braves, pretty simple. We're good. Yeah. Yeah.
Start Ronald Acuna.
Yeah. Play Ronald Acuna. They have 5 righties next week, so play Eddie Rosario for most of the week. Yep. Yep. And then the following week, 4 games are undecided against 3 against Washington, 1 against Cubs, and they might be sitting guys anyways. So I really wouldn't get too crazy on that one.
Yep.
Baltimore Orioles. Now we're going to have some fun here because they're contending for the postseason. 7 games next week, 3 at Houston, 3 at Cleveland, which is always nice. And then the following week, 2 at home against Washington, 4 at home against Boston. Boston's a dumpster fire right now. Washington's Washington. So that last week of the season in contention, Baltimore looks amazing.
Yeah, Baltimore looks amazing with the 7 game coming up this next week, and then the easy competition that final week, Boston. I don't know what that'll look like. It's a little unfortunate Baltimore doesn't get Tampa. I'd love to see one more series to actually decide it. As we speak, the Rays heading into Friday's games are 1 game behind the Orioles, so that would be sweet. The only issue with Baltimore is just like when we talked about this with Kjerstad, is there's just going to be a lot of, I think, moving pieces and matchups and that sort of thing. They don't have, let's see, they get 7 righties. So next week, actually their next 9 games are against righties before they face Chris Sale. So any Baltimore lefties that are available, I think, and as I go to their page, Ryan O'Hearn is an interesting option in deep leagues. He plays and really hits cleanup every day against right-handed pitching. Cedric Mullins is Cedric Mullins, kind of in a platoon, which is kind of crazy. But maybe Kjerstad, who is lefty,
this could be his time to shine.
Maybe this is when he gets his shot. So Kjerstad, yeah, maybe we do up that bid by another dollar this weekend.
And like we said, they say undecided, but if the Red Sox keep their rotation after Sale, you get Pivetta, Crawford, and Houck to finish things out. Or they had a couple different guys in the doubleheader on Wednesday or Thursday. They could totally do some goofy stuff. So could be interesting. Rob DiPietro in the chat says Adam Frazier is another one to target. He's been platooning a ton, so that'd be his time to shine against all those right-handed pitchers and do the Adam Frazier things that give everybody hope again for the following season. Then realize it's Adam Frazier, but he's been playing pretty good so far down the stretch here. So
don't 13 home runs somehow this year.
Somehow, Adam Frazier, he does it every year. Just make sure you're playing him on those moments. Otherwise, Boston Red Sox, again, they're pretty much out of it, but you know, fantasy wise, there's still some interesting, at least bats to look at. You got 3 at Texas next week, and then 3 at home against the wonderful Chicago White Sox. That's a definite one to stream against. Then they finish out the season 2 against Tampa and 4 at Baltimore. I'm pretty much, if I'm looking for any Red Sox, Ryan, it's the 3 Chicago White Sox games next weekend.
But that's pretty much it. Even the at Texas is Montgomery, John Gray, and we'll see which version of Eovaldi we get. Most of this schedule, I think, is actually pretty tough, especially that Rays next week. So if you do get any Red Sox, you're looking at, and then at Baltimore, I mean, just the park factor, who knows where Baltimore will be in the chase, but it would be like, who would it be if it's Baltimore?
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Looking for a fun way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select 2 or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100 and use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
I got him right here.
After Bradish, it would be Flaherty, Grayson, and D-Rod, Dean Kramer. So, yeah. Pretty, I'd say, moderately tough for Boston the rest of the way.
If I'm going to throw out any guys that you can go to, this could be a chance next weekend series, at least, versus Chicago. Willier Abreu could be a dude to look at potentially to stream. And then just for the whole long run, if you're looking for Sedane Rafaela, who we've talked about on the show before.
Rafaela has played each of the last five games. So
he's going to play lefties and righties. He's going to play every game. He's hitting with a little bit of power here the last couple days. So if you're just looking for like a deeper format, you need some middle infield help. Rafaela could be a dude because he'll play no matter what. They want to see what they got with him. So he could be a dude to fill in some spots on your roster as well. Chicago Cubs, next week they play six games each of the final 2 weeks. They get Monday off both weeks. Convenient. But you get three at home versus Pittsburgh, three at home versus Colorado, so a little Wrigley Field action next week. Those are some great matchups. Mm-hmm. And then you go on the road, three at Atlanta, three against the Milwaukee Brewers. And the Brewers might be clinched by then, though. They might be set in rotations. So that could be a whole different outlook on life. Aaron Ashby is actually rehabbing at Double A right now. I think they want to get him in some action to finish the season, so I wouldn't be shocked if we get like a spot start at some point in time. But next week, Cubs stream looks real good.
Cubs stream looks really good next week. It is, let's see, it is two lefties, four righties, so there's a little bit of a split there, although most Cubs are pretty much rostered at this point. The Spencer, the at Atlanta's, like, it kind of depends on Spencer Strider. Like, I mean, he's in the Cy Young race. I won't even get into that debate at this point. Like, I don't really care or have the bandwidth to debate that. But if he's in the discussion, Strider's going to pitch, I would say, as long as he can that outing, even though Atlanta has nothing to play for. Like, I would think they'd throw Strider out there and get that last kind of that last sample for the Cy Young race. And so, yeah, any Cubs that you might have, like, yeah, next week is great. The at Atlanta, at Milwaukee, depending. Milwaukee's 4.5 games up on the Cubs right now. So that could be like that could be the death row of Burns, of Woodruff, and
no,
Freddie.
No, if it stays, it'd be Freddie, Hauser, and Miley.
Okay. That makes it a little
easier. That's not bad. That's not bad.
So yeah, I guess Cubs isn't too bad.
Pete Crow Armstrong, anybody? He'll be available this weekend in Feb. That could be fun if he needs speed, but he's not even playing every day.
He's not gonna play enough. Day. That's what I mean. Like any Cub regular is already
taken.
Yeah. Is already taken, and Pete Crow Armstrong is like the only, and there's just not enough. Started in center field the last two games, but I don't know. Yeah.
His debut, he got caught stealing as a pinch runner, so that's fun. Cincinnati Reds next week, Great American Small Park finale. That's fun. First Minnesota versus the Pittsburgh Pirates. Whew. Go get your Will Bensons if anybody dropped them recently. And then the last week, they only played five games, two at Cleveland, two at St. Louis. Good matchups in theory because both, like, you get Giolito for one and St. Louis just been struggle busting it for the most part. A couple guys are okay, but most part struggling. Next week, Great American. Pretty simple stuff to me. You got Keuchel in the mix there. Then you get the three Pittsburgh pitchers.
Yep. And Will Benson, I think, is the exact, like, that's the type of player that is probably available that you can look at with five games against the righties at home for Cincinnati, and not just the righties. It is, I mean, Kenta Maeda has been really good, but that trio of Pirates next week in Oviedo, Ortiz, and Jackson, that's pretty sweet. So Cincinnati for next week, the following week, just five games on the road, like you said, Bub, is a little bit tougher, but go get your Will Benson for the week coming up.
Yeah, and I will say they've been doing so much platooning in Cincinnati lately. Colonel and I talked about it earlier this week. He pulled up his schedule, and it's not fun. Like Nick Martini would be a ton of fun that week against the Pirates, but he's even being mixed and matched. It's like Friedel's one of the only standing ones in the left side of the plate that plays pretty much every day. So Benson would be available. Like if you're in a deep, deep league, you could take a shot on Martini and hope he gets to run at the plate over the weekend. Otherwise, yeah, it's tough to trust a whole lot. That's the only downside to that Reds situation. Cleveland, seven games next week at Kansas City, at home against Baltimore. The Kansas City one looks pretty nice with Singer, Marsh, and Greinke. And then the following week, only five games, two at home versus the Reds, three on the road versus Detroit. Maybe they get some Gibson out there. But this is an interesting one. Most Guardians are pretty much locked in as well that are relevant. But you might find a few stragglers out there. So what do you see in this one?
I'm just looking up lefties on the Guardians. Will Brennan could be available, especially if you need steals. You get the six righties for Cleveland next week. So that's pretty sweet. I just like Brandon Crawford, I will stop short of recommending Cole Calhoun, although he has actually done. So yes, I can't believe he has. Can't believe he's playing. But Cole Calhoun is, I mean, in deep leagues, he is hitting fourth or fifth against right-handed pitching. They have faced a bunch of lefties lately, but Cole Calhoun, if you're desperate and need playing time next week, is pretty sweet. Yeah, and then the final week for Cleveland is just kind of meh. Hunter Green, Andrew Abbott, who's been terrible, and then the at Detroit. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting. I will mention, if you're in need of catching help, Garver left Thursday's game. Other guys are struggling lately. Bo Naylor's swinging it really well. Left side of the plate, should play out at least five games next week, at least, I'd imagine. So I think he's a guy you could stream next week. Again, bringing it back to catchers, because that's what I do around here. But that's an option. Colorado Rockies, we mentioned last week, 14 in their final 20 games are at home. Well, next week they play six on the road, three at San Diego, three at the Cubs, but the final week of the season, seven at home, four against the Dodgers, four against the Twins. Dodgers pitching has been a mess, plus they should have it wrapped up, I'd imagine, by then. So how are you approaching this setup? Because if you're going to want Rockies, the time to add them is this weekend.
Yeah, the one week ahead, which is going to be kind of tough because the Rockies, I think, were at home all of this week. So they're,
yeah, so might not be a lot
streaming
available.
And they're not really available.
Okay, so add your Twins bats. Add your Twins bats for the final three games of the season. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yep. But also hold your Rockies. If you do have Rockies that you picked up for this week, you just have Rockies, you see, oh, it's the second to last week of the season. They're on the road for all six. If you've got room, hold on and for that seven game final week, especially LA. I don't know what they're throwing out there. Minnesota, I would think, would be not in shutdown mode, but in set up the postseason rotation mode. They pretty much have the AL Central locked up at this point. So, I think Colorado bats, if you can kind of hold through next week, that final week could be pretty nice.
Yep, 100% with you on that one. Chicago White Sox, we know we're targeting bats against them, but on the flip side, they got at Washington next week and at the Red Sox, which is not too shabby. Final week of the year, at home against Arizona, at home against San Diego. That San Diego staff's a mess, might be a big mess that final week. It's just tough. Like, who on Chicago are you interested in?
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe some Corey Lee, like Yasmani Grandal, has quietly been pushed by the wayside as the White Sox see what they have next year in Corey Lee. But that's about it. Like, I can't.
Could be a Gavin Sheets week. They got five righties next week. Could have five or six the following week.
Trace Thompson is on. Remember when Trace Thompson hit three home runs
for the Dodgers, the first or second
week of the season on the Dodgers?
Yeah, very much so. Yes, remember
that. I wonder how much FAB money was spent on. I think it was the first FAB period of the season.
I remember in DFS, many people played him because he was like $2,000 versus lefty, and it paid off. So yes.
So that's how it started versus how it's going now.
Yeah, this is
how not playing on the White Sox.
I'm on the White Sox and I'm platooning. Yeah. Detroit Tigers next week, seven games all on the road, three at the Dodgers, but three at Oakland, which is kind of interesting. Then they finish the season at home against Kansas City and Cleveland. I guess we already know you should pick up Reese Olson. He's got the Dodgers next week, but the following week, Kansas City, and maybe just those two starts. Maybe wait till next week. Yeah. And then maybe Gibson Long at Oakland next week gets Cleveland to finish out the season. That could be the dude. Nick Pollock recommendation there, everybody.
Watch him win some leagues on the final day of the year. That'd be fantastic. Yeah. The volume works. The LA starters going against Detroit that seven-game week is Lance Lynn Pepio, who's been fantastic, and Bobby Miller. So, that's not too bad. We don't know what version of Lance Lynn we will get. He's kind of – we thought it was the rebirth in LA, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. But still, Detroit, and it's – from a righty lefty standpoint, it's tough. So we talked about streaming last week, and when we took Vierling, I guess, as a righty, but I took McKinstry, a lefty. It's two lefties, five righties for Detroit next week. So I guess your Akil Badu's could be decent pickups, especially looking at that next week. It's Alec Marsh, Zach Greinke, two righties going the first half of next week. So that might not be too bad.
Yeah, we liked the Detroit Tigers when we did that breakdown last week, looking at strength of schedule and all that kind of potential stuff. So for some godforsaken reason, Kerry Carpenter's out there, obviously make that happen. But Vierling, I just like him because he plays a lot versus righties and lefties, hits towards the top of the order, and he's available in a ton of leagues. So you can go there. You mentioned the Bedu situation. There's going to be some options out there. And you know, if you believe in Parker Meadows still, who's trying to figure it out, he's an option as well. But definitely some Tigers to have some fun with, no doubt about it.
Rob DiPietro in the chat, following up on Trace Thompson, median winning bid of 30, max of 100 in the main event after the three-homer game.
Man, there's some money you'd like back right about now. Houston Astros, again, should have things – well, maybe they won't have wrapped up. It's a tight race with Seattle and others. So that could come down to the wire. But they get Baltimore and Kansas City next week for six games. And then they finish the season at Seattle, which is pretty awesome, and then at Arizona. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Like the KC part, well, one of them is against Cy Reagans, so that's not ideal either.
Walk Reagans?
You can bite your tongue. There's not really any Astros bats you're looking to pick up unless you still have Michael Brantley out there, maybe.
Yeah, I mean that he'd be the only one who would be like interesting, especially because it's a ton of righties that Houston would face. It would be their next nine games, eight of them against righties, and six walk Reagans would be the only lefty there. So I'm just giving you shit, man. I'm just trying to see if Pollock's still in the chat, because I know
he bowed out because he would have been chest out on that one.
I don't know why that at Seattle series, the first half of, and just non-fantasy, would be electric against Luis Castillo, George Kirby, and Bryce Miller.
We'll get to Seattle later. Never mind. Hold by my tongue.
Okay.
They have great matchups.
I don't know why Houston's ending at Arizona. Like that's rough to end the season.
The schedule sucks. The schedule sucks. This new formatting, it's horrible.
I don't mind it. I just I don't know.
But for those reasons, the Giants don't play the Dodgers the whole month of September for rivalry purposes.
At the end, you want pathetic. Yeah, you kind of want these division games to mean a ton. You're not getting, and they don't. I mean, I just said Tampa and Baltimore, but like. In MLB's defense, they don't know who's going to be the top teams, but still, at least schedule those division games to get them in September, but whatever.
Kansas City Royals, for those keeping track at home, three at home versus Cleveland next week, and then three on the road against Houston. Talked about them a second ago. And then you got three at Detroit and three against the Yankees. Now, I know we make fun of the Royals, but honestly, like the last month and a half or so, much better offense than people want to give him credit for. They've been kind of putting it together. Nick Prado's back. He hasn't done much since he's returned, but just going to mention he's back. But like you got Edward Olivares is playing a ton. Michael Massey's look good. Drew Waters been decent. Nelson Velasquez, beast mode. Love that man. So you have some players here. There might be platoon situations still, but there are some juicy matchups because even Houston does not scare me in that series. Well, a little bit more than they should, but not like they used to. Let's put it that way. Cleveland's Cleveland. I like some Kansas City bats if you're feeling desperate.
I do too. The problem is the platoon thing. Yeah, it's just when I'm looking at the schedule, it's righty, lefty, righty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, and Kansas City platoons all the time. So like it's tough to get consistent playing time from some of these guys. But if you're in daily leagues, I like it a lot more. But in weekly, I don't see like your fringe Kansas City guys playing more than three times, maybe four.
It's a week. Like if you really break it down, it's the last week, you get the first half of the week, you get two lefties and a righty, but it's Erod and Scooble. So it's not like Scooble. I respect Scooble enough type thing. Yeah. The first half of next week, it's Quantrill and Giolito and then Allen in the mix. So if you're just looking kind of, I don't know, stream against that kind of stuff, look at smaller sections of the schedule, I guess. But yeah, it's tricky, very tricky.
Yep.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Just want to pass, or do you want to talk about these guys?
No, we can pass. Yeah. There's just nothing, man. Like
they did call. Did you hear? See who they called up today? They recalled David Fletcher and Jared Walsh.
There we go. There we go. That's what we need. No, I got nothing. I do just want to see one more. Like, what do you think? You think Ohtani plays again?
Dude, this is what annoys me. He could have had surgery by now, or at least put on the ice. There's just this whole thing is just ridiculous. The way they didn't trade him. Again, I don't want to go over everything we've talked about on the show, but the fact he's been out for basically over 10 days already, that's the IL for some keeping track at home. This is silly. Absolutely silly. So
I would like to see get one curtain. I think they'll do that. I think they'll play.
Oh, it'd be great if you could get out there and do something. But at the same time, yeah, you eventually got to make up your own decision and head out. That'd be my two cents. Bobby D's a big fan of Velasquez as well, and I feel his pain. I don't understand what the Royals are doing. To be fair, this is why teams like the Royals stay the Royals. Los Angeles Dodgers
starting in labor, and it's been frustrating as hell. But
I'm with you. I'm with you. Dodgers next week, 7 games. Detroit at home. Giants. Oh, they did get the Giants to finish out the year. I was told they didn't. They got the Giants a lot, actually. I'm an idiot. I'm an absolute idiot, everybody. Maybe it was August they didn't play them. I know they had a big gap not playing them, which is very strange. So 7 games next week, juicy matchups. Final week of the season, 7 games. 4 in Colorado, 3 against the Giants. The last few games might not matter for the Dodgers, put it that way. But all in all, this sets up to be glorious for anybody you want to stream with Dodgers. You got 3 lefties, though, next week, which is interesting, but still, like, just play your Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only, like, so any Dodger everyday guy is already rostered, unless it's...
Chris Taylor has not been rostered anywhere, and he's starting to hit.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Started 4 of the last 6. There's still just some platoon-ish vibes I get, even from Taylor. And it's righty-lefty, righty-righty-righty, lefty-lefty next week for L.A., and then lefty-righty-righty-righty. So maybe your L.A. lefties, and Chris Taylor, if you're in a pinch. But that's the problem with L.A. is, like, all their regulars are beasts and not available.
Yeah, and Taylor's 45% rostered in OCs, so that's something else to think about here. Pepio gets the Tigers and the Giants next week. I've been saying grab him a while ago for just this week alone. That's one thing you wanted. Other than that, though, like, you got Emmett Sheehan against the Giants. That could have a little bit of appeal. Ooh. If you trust that. He's been so bad, though. I'm just throwing out options for you. And then the undecided is going to be really interesting because Sheehan should pitch in Coors, then Lynn against the Giants. Pepio might get the Giants in that final Saturday, too. So Pepio is in line. I know he wasn't great against San Diego a couple nights ago, but he has 3 juicy-looking starts to finish the season.
Yep.
All right, Miami Marlins. They're still fighting for that wild card. They get 3 against the Mets next week or at home and 3 against Milwaukee at home, and they get Woodruff, Peralta, and Hauser. So T's and P's to your Miami Marlins. And then the following week, 3 at the Mets, 3 at Pittsburgh. That's a little more forgiving if you have right-handed bats, at least to start the week.
Yeah, the matchups, yeah, it's kind of like all or nothing. You get the Buto, you get Lucchesi, you get Adrian Hauser, but then you also get Kode Senga twice, who, by the way...
amazing. That should be your pick to start the next draft. We talked about it.
That's funny. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, Kode Senga, I have the first pick in the beginning of the 8th round and need strikeouts on my once we resume the 2024 meatball degenerate, whatever you want to call it, draft. I think Kode Senga, like, even more than Reagan's.
Senga's the dude.
I think Senga's the dude.
I told you that we did the recap. That's the guy. I almost took him instead of Alzolay, but I wanted a closer. Now Alzolay's got forearm issues, so really it's already stinging in a big way. I like the Senga play. So,
but yeah, like, going back to, let's see, the Marlins, it's all hitter because you get Senga twice, you get Woodruff, you get Peralta. It's more easy than tough, but just know you might get some, there might be some rough rough days for the Marlins, like, half the time. They're at Pittsburgh to end the series, even though that's technically undecided, whoever they throw out there. Maybe if it's Mitch Keller, there's some fear there, but who knows what you're going to get with Mitch. So I don't know. Pretty good schedule.
Yeah. Another nice start from Mitch on Thursday. 8 strong innings.
Yep.
I did want to mention, that's not going to matter, Braxton Garrett's pretty much rostered everywhere, but he could finish the season at the Mets and at the Pirates. 2 starts the final week.
Nice.
That's appetizing.
The Marlins are close enough in the wild card that, yeah, yep, they'll do it.
Milwaukee Brewers, I don't think there's a ton to really hit on here unless you can sneakily get through something. They got 4 at St. Louis, 3 at Miami next week, 4 righties, 3 lefties. And then the final week, it's versus St. Louis versus the Cubs. A lot of undecideds there. So it's kind of tough to pigeonhole what you want to do there unless you want Adrian Hauser at St. Louis and at Miami next week.
Yeah, maybe. There's not that much. We can move on.
Yeah, most hitters are gone. Minnesota Twins, 3 in Great American to start the week, 3 at home against the Angels, and they go 3 versus Oakland, 3 at Colorado to finish the season. Kind of hinted on grab your Twins now situation. You get to start the week at Great American. You get to finish the season in Colorado. Pretty sweet setup. Plus, you get 3 games against the A's. If you have any right-handed Twins bats, even better. So what are you looking at here?
Nope, this is one of the nicer schedules remaining. Twins wise, like, their top bats are, most of these guys are taken. How many righties do we get? Because I'm always looking at like Kepler, Kirilloff, and Wallner.
Yeah, they're gonna enjoy Great American and then maybe Coors. The other spots, which we really don't care as much about, we still care about. That's where you get most of your, you get 4 lefties in those 6 games between the Angels and the A's.
Yeah, so that does make it tough for like Wallner, but at least the first half of next week, those 3 righties at Cincinnati, that's going to be pretty sweet for any Twins lefties. And overall, yeah, that schedule's pretty, pretty sweet.
Yeah, one thing I'll say about the Twins, and this is only because of DCs and DFS that I know this by now, if you are looking for a righty bat and you want to think I'm crazy, Kyle Farmer is swinging it very well over the last 10 days.
Homered on Thursday. Yep.
Yeah. Like ridiculously hot at the moment. Him, Willie Castro's back. He's playing really well. Also, both those guys will be widely available in leagues. Those are the kind of guys that can put up little sneaky games in Great American and Coors. So I keep an eye on those guys if you're looking to make moves. I love Matt Wallner. He will sit versus lefties more often than not, like Ryan was saying. But Castro's a switch hitter. Farmer. He'll play against a lot of righties too, but he'll always play versus lefties. So those would be 2 guys I would definitely keep on the radar. Bobby D mentioned Tyrone Taylor from Milwaukee. I do love him against lefties. As long as he plays versus righties, we're good. That's the conundrum at times, but I do like Tyrone Taylor. He's been playing a lot since he returned, so I'll give Bobby D for that one.
Yelich has been out in it with a back injury, and so who knows? I think Yelich's coming back on Friday is the latest I saw. Like he'll be in the lineup, but who knows with backs? I mean, that would just open up even more time with.
My neck, my back. The Mets, 7 on the road next week against Miami and Philadelphia. Finished the year at home with 3 against Miami, 3 against Philadelphia. So they just rotate schedules, flying all around, play 2 teams basically. It's just the Mets. It's tough.
No schedule. Like, who are the dudes you're going to pick up from the Mets? Like DJ Stewart's probably gone in most leagues and doesn't play against lefties. Although they haven't played a lefty in a while, so maybe the Mets try it, because dude, their bench, it's just terrible. Tim LeCastro is on the Mets.
Yeah, it's brutal. The one I'll mention is a guy I've talked about a lot lately. Mark Vientos is hitting, folks. He is hitting. And Curlin told me he doesn't play versus, and then Curlin laughed because then he started playing versus righties. All of a sudden something clicked and they're like, okay, let's play the kid. What a shocker. Heading into Thursday, over his last 5-10, he's hit safely in 7 of his last 10 for .286 with 3 homers. Still strikes out all the time, still a lot of swing and miss in Mark Vientos's bat, but there's a lot of power potential in this final 13 games. They're gonna face off your Philadelphia 4 and Citizens Bank where the ball will fly out. Got a couple good spots there. I don't think he's a bad look.
Yep.
All righty. Next up, we have the New York Yankees. 3 at home against Toronto, 3 at home against Arizona next week. And they go at Toronto for 3 and then finish up in Kansas City for 3. I've already professed my love for Estefan Florial, who will get 5 righties next week and maybe all 6 righties the following week. We'll see. That'd be one for sure. What else you got on this one?
No, I think Florial's, I think that's the call. It could be a ton of right-handed pitching that the Yankees are going to face. So a little bit tough at the start with Kikuchi, Gausman, Berríos, but I mean, even with Gausman, you never know. You never know. And then after that, it's Arizona and then at Kansas City to round out the season's pretty, pretty sweet. And the Yankees are going to play their young guys, I would think. Just let them play it out and get those reps for next year.
DiPietro says Wallner's played 5 of the last 6 first lefties. He also has 5 hits like in his last 12 or 14 games. So he doesn't hit lefties that great. That's my concern with him. Is they're playing him because their options are limited, especially a lot of guys are hurt. Kirilloff just came back and some others. That'd be my biggest concern with the Wallner situation. I'm a huge Wallner fan. Talk about him all the time on my DFS show. When they're facing a righty, especially a susceptible righty, stack them up, have some fun with Wallner. Oakland Athletics, 7 games next week, all at home, 3 against the Mariners, 3 against the Tigers, and then the finish out the year, 3 at Minnesota, 3 at the Angels. It's not a bad schedule after that Seattle setup, but yeah. So it's like you got 4 against Detroit, but it's 2 lefties and 2 righties, and then you got Minnesota and the Angels. So you got your usual suspects, but I'll see who you like first before I spout off all my A's.
I mean, I kind of like, if you need infield, like Jordan Diaz is interesting to me. If you look at this schedule, it kind of works after Seattle. Again, depending on how our boy Gibson Long looks. But I don't know. There's Rooker. Like, he's just, I don't know. He's just kind of a fill-in. So what do you have?
Yeah. Well, in the matchups versus right-handed pitching, so maybe more so the following week, love Ryan Noda. That's a dude that's going to be – I already have him in a ton of DCs this year. He'll be high up on the agenda for next year as well.
Go Seth Brown, maybe.
Seth Brown, he's another guy that's been playing really well of late. If you're in a deep, deep league, I know people always hate when I say it, but Tony Kemp still hits the top of the order, and he has his moments. I'm just going to say it. He really does. So the A's are another one of those kind of like boring, boring teams that will have a lot of guys available on your waiver wire. That's why it's kind of a discussion point. At least for that last week of the season when they do face Minnesota and the Angels, especially that Angels series, that could be some ugly pitching to finish off the season. And you'll have like a 1 o'clock Pacific time A's Angels game. And you're like, what are we worried about? And somehow like Lawrence Butler is another guy that just goes off for the weekend. Shea Langeliers has been swinging it really well. If you need a catcher, like the A's are playing good baseball. I mentioned it. I can't remember what show I did the other day. Over like the last month, they have a 200 ISO over right-handed pitching. Like they're swinging it really well, surprisingly, with power at least, which in the fantasy game, that helps pay the bills. So the A's are weirdly interesting, to say the least. Philadelphia Phillies, next week, 7 games, 3 on the road at Atlanta, 4 at home against the Mets, and then the final week, 6 games, 3 at home versus Pittsburgh, 3 on the road against those same Mets. Phillies might, they're still fighting for a playoff spot too, but I think they might. I don't know. There's a lot of weirdness in the NL playoffs. What do you like here?
It's more just if you have Phillies, like they're almost universally rostered, gone. Except for like Yoan Rojas, maybe Brandon Marsh, but they're pretty much gone. So you just, if you have Phillies, like you look at the schedule and it's pretty sweet with just the one off day and pretty mediocre competition. And again, yeah, we'll see what the NL wild card shapes out to be, but pretty favorable. Just keep rolling with the Phillies that you have.
Pittsburgh Pirates, first week, 3 at Chicago Cubs, 3 at the Cincinnati Reds and Great American. Then they finish the year 3 at Philadelphia, then 3 at home against Miami. So Pittsburgh Pirates, we kind of talked about them earlier on the show. Go get yourself some Palacios. That's all I'm going to say. Get yourself some Palacios. But I think he could have a fun little 2-week stint. Anybody else?
Palacios.
Well, there you go. Anybody else you like in this one?
Not really, just because like Jack Suwinski was a popular pickup this week. I think Pittsburgh faced a bunch of righties, but going forward, it looks like a lot of lefty righty splitting with Pittsburgh. So I don't really like that much. Same with like Connor Joe, who I guess he's played the last couple times in and out against righties, but there's just, I don't know. I'll say Peguero. Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. If you need some help in the middle, the schedule's not too bad, and Peguero's pretty much playing every day at shortstop or second base.
Yep, Peguero will be a dude. Him and Palacios that we'll be talking about in the offseason because they're a young team that needs more help, but guys that could help you down the stretch here with the Pittsburgh Pirates. San Diego Padres, 3 at home against Colorado, 3 at home against St. Louis next week. Finish the year 3 at the Giants, 3 at the White Sox.
Pretty sweet.
That's a pretty good series to finish the season.
It is. Similar problem, though. Like, you're looking at Trent Grisham, maybe, Jurickson Profar. If you need a catcher and Luis Camposano is still around, I think that's your bingo. Proud in the of wake you. Of Gary Sanchez's season-ending injury. So, Matthew Batten is playing pretty much every day.
I think a lot of it's Corona works out for the year.
Yeah, just a kind of a body to fill it. The skills aren't really there, but the matchups for San Diego are are pretty sweet. So
yeah, I've had to say Matthew Batten's name too many times in my DFS show because he's like $2,200 every day, and I'm like, if you need a punt, he plays, and that's like sixth. So like, he's not the worst thing you can do out there. Yeah, but it's not great. Seattle Mariners, your boys, 3 at Oakland next week, 3 at Texas. So nice little 6 games there. Then they come home to finish out the year, 3 at home against Houston, 3 at home against Texas. That Hunter Brown's been inconsistent, threw well on Wednesday, but before that, not great. Javier's a bum right now. JP France is very, very inconsistent. So I'm not even worried about pitching on that last week. This is a nice, nice schedule for Seattle, but who's available, Ryan?
I mean, their regulars are taken, and then there's a good amount of platoon with Canzone and Rojas as lefties, and then Dylan Moore as your righty. So, like, it kind of just all depends on the lefty-righty split, and that's kind of the problem, at least next week. It's lefty-righty, lefty-lefty, righty-lefty. You do get those three righties, Houston entering the last week of the season, then who knows with Texas. So I'd lean more towards like your Canzone types, but that's a tough start next week when they're facing four lefties. Like, you kind of can't do that. So yeah. A lot of games, good like strength of schedule, but a little bit too much lefty righty.
Well, if it the final week you get the three righties in Houston and then potentially a Dunning, but then it goes Montgomery, then Eovaldi and Gray. So you get six.
You get three out of four righties. Yeah, you get
that's six. That's where it gets interesting. Week. There's your Canzone for sure right there. Mm-hmm. All right.
And again, Seattle is maybe in the hunt for the division, definitely the wild card. So they're not going to be resting anybody.
Yeah, they get out of the final 2 weeks, they hit 7 against Texas and 3 against Houston.
Whew. Buckle up.
You gotta earn it, boys.
Fire up the old VPN. Thankful for my blackout up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Time to next Thursday it'll be at Texas. We'll see how that podcast goes. That could be a fun one. All right. We got actually they're off next Thursday. That's Friday. Never mind.
Sorry, I scrolled way down. Here we go. Yes, home stretch. Yes, your home boys. Stretch.
San Francisco Giants. You got Arizona for 2 and the Dodgers for 4, and then they come home for the Padres and the Dodgers. It's a platoon nightmare. Yaz is swinging it well. Conforto's coming back. Haniger's swinging it well. JD Davis is swinging it well. It just depends on matchups. Next week, you get 5 out of 6 righties. So you got time. Like, their priority all picked up for Colorado this weekend. That's the only problem because I know I did. Yep. I made priority to take them. And then the final week could be 5 out of 6 as well.
Could be. We have no idea what LA's rotation will be to round it out. So, it's kind of like any giant lefties that are available for next week are good plays. But like you said, Bubba, probably scooped up in active leagues because of that course series this weekend. So I don't know if there's too much you can actually do here to take advantage.
I know we keep throwing catchers out there. Go pick up Patrick Bailey if he was dropped. He's back. He's going to be starting. The dude can hit, and he's a switcher.
They sent Bart back down, right?
Yes, they sent Bart back down immediately. So go get Patrick Bailey if he's out there. St. Louis Cardinals, Wainwright going for his 200. He gets 3 or 4 at home against Milwaukee next week, 3 at San Diego. Final week of the year, 3 at Milwaukee, 4 at home versus Cincinnati. Again, you could use your Palacios of the world. Otherwise, it's probably already taken is the way I look at it. Did I lose you? Ryan froze on me. Man, the St. Louis Cardinals got Ryan so excited there. There he is.
Back.
Okay.
Internet cut out. I'm on the phone. No problem.
Cardinals, what do you got?
I don't know what you just said. So
okay. Cardinals
it's schedule. It's a lot of righties, which is
Cardinals like schedule coming up. Yeah, Palacios is the main one I'm looking at because most other guys in the St. Louis setup are probably taken unless you know anybody else.
Yeah, and it's tough too. It's a lot of Milwaukee. It's what 7 games against Milwaukee, so you're getting a lot of Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, like and St. Louis. Even Palacios, I think that's tough given that.
Yep, very, very tough here. I got 2-3 more teams to go, 4 more teams to go. Tampa Bay, 3 at home versus the Angels, 3 at home versus Toronto. Then the final week, only play 5 games, 2 at Boston, 3 at Toronto. Anybody standing out to you there? There he goes. He's back. And we've lost Ryan. We've lost Ryan. The internet has kaputted Ryan Bloomfield. So I'll give you some quick thoughts on Tampa Bay here as we pile down the stretch. The five-game final week is not ideal, for sure. That's always an issue. And then it's just Platoon City when you talk about the Tampa Bay Rays. Next week, it's four lefties and two righties. So if you want to get real crazy with platoons in Tampa, you're looking at Curtis Meade, who's been playing a lot versus lefties. Manny Margot got activated from the IL. He'd be another nice one. So those could be a couple guys if you want to do the first half or second half of the week situations in Tampa Bay. That would be something to take a look at. Otherwise, it's going to be a little tricky with all like the massive platoon situations in Tampa Bay. I think we have Ryan back.
I'm back. Gotcha. For now.
Okay. So anybody else in Tampa? I just mentioned next week four lefties, so you can look like a Curtis Meade. Margot's back from the IL. And the final week just sucks with five games.
Yeah, I was thinking Margot is a decent pickup against four lefties.
Yep.
And he's just back from the IL, so that's not bad. But yeah, that final week, two off days, and who knows what the righty lefty will be that last weekend. So
yep, for sure. Texas Rangers, three at home versus Boston, three at home versus Seattle, on the road, three at the Angels, four at Seattle. Good matchups versus Boston and the Angels. Seattle's tough though. So how do you approach this one? And Ryan's available. Bloomfield's gone. Internet is failing Ryan Bloomfield right now. So looking at Texas here, it's just tricky because you get those Angels matchups, which is less than ideal. So I probably just pass altogether. Toronto, you have three at the Yankees, three at Tampa Bay the next week, and then at home, three versus the Yankees, three versus Tampa Bay. So just flip-flopping situations. Like the Yankees, it's Schmidt, King, Cole, and then it's King, Cole, Rodon. A couple tough Cole and King twice, and that's just a tough matchup all around. And then Tampa Bay, you got Glass now, Lytle, Bradley. I'm just going to pass on Tampa Bay, make that pretty simple there. Then the final week of the year, you got the Washington Nationals. You got the White Sox for three, Braves for four, and the final week only five games. So the Nats are a predicament, to say the least. They do have some young players that have been getting moved around. I know not as young, but Dominic Smith is playing very, very well of late. That first series, three against the White Sox, all righties. They get six righties next week. It is Morton and Kyle Wright, two of them, but Elder, Urania, Clevenger, Toussaint. Not too bad. You can always see what the final week of the year does. But Dominic Smith would be a guy I'd be looking at. Blankenhorn's been playing a ton. I'm not in love with him. I know Ryan loves Jake Alou. I don't know if I got Ryan back. Is there anybody else you like?
Forgotten man, Luis Garcia, perhaps. Especially against righties.
Yep, he got recalled. Good call.
So, I don't know, maybe. But, yeah, schedule's not bad. Schedule's not bad, especially who knows what that at Atlanta at the end of the year is going to look like. But yeah, the two off days the last week of the season kind of stings.
Yeah, that is the big bummer for sure. But we made it 30 teams. We went through it all.
I did 27. So
it's all good. It's why we're a team. We can power through this. I just don't have the screen on. I'm looking at everything else and I just hear silence on the other side. Like, always
that's
go back.
I wasn't sure is the screen. If I cut out, is the screen like still there?
So we're good. We're good. We have one listener question though, and that is from our buddy Joe G. And he says, would you rather have Zdeno Chara or Kirilloff for the rest of the season? If you want to add in some more, Kepler, Aaron Hicks, Grossman, and Oliveras are also available.
Take a shot at Rafaela just to the playing time. I think playing time is the safest. We talked about Kirilloff with a good amount of lefty-right switching with Minnesota the rest of the way. So I'll go Rafaela.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like Kepler would be the same boat as Kirilloff. I love Kepler, but that's tough. And Edward Oliveras as well. He's been playing great, but he'll be platooning probably. And the Royals had a weird schedule. So, yeah, give Rafaela a shot. I think I was hoping they give him the shot sooner. It took a little while, but here we are. So it's pretty, pretty nice. All right, that'll wrap it up as my dog decides he wants to go crazy here in the bedroom, in the office. So that'll be fun. But any final thoughts? We have 2 weeks of the season to go. Fun stuff here. Stream away. We'll figure something out for you guys next week, unless you have a bunch of questions. But anything else?
Thanks for hanging with us. Appreciate it. And just hold on for dear life these last 2 weeks. It's going to be a sweat, man.
It's going to be a big time sweat. Thanks to Rob DiPietro, Nick Pollock, Mr. Bloomfield for joining us in the chat tonight.
That's right.
Always fun. Yep. The more, the merrier. So come get them. And yeah, check your waiver wires. You might have even more guys available. We just kind of hit on the basics from like a 12-team NFBC standpoint. But like I always talk about doing Yahoo articles. I know Ryan looks at stuff. There's always a ton of dudes available. So we can have some fun there. But that'll do it. We'll be back with you guys next week. You can check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Entrick. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 74. Catch y'all next time.
Hey there, I'm Brandon Gelly from the Always Cheating Podcast, co-hosted with my friend Josh Landon. In case you didn't know, the show you're listening to right now, as well as my show, is part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. What is Blue Wire? Blue Wire was founded in 2018 on the concept that independent podcasts would be more successful if they worked together. Today, Blue Wire has grown to feature 300 shows led by former athletes, media professionals, and passionate fans. And over the past few years, Blue Wire has privately raised more than $10 million to expand their team, their podcast network, and their business operations. Now they're raising another round on WeFunder. WeFunder is a crowdfunding service that connects startups with investors. And it's a cool platform that gives everyone the opportunity to be a part of a growing startup. You can invest as little as $100. In other words, you don't have to be a millionaire to invest in cool companies on WeFunder. Blue Wire is raising money to expand their sales team and improve operations, which will in turn help this show continue to grow. So if you'd like to be a part of the Blue Wire investment round or want to find out more information, visit WeFunder.com/BlueWire.